Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go to your calls in just a few moments. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, we've made no secret of it. We want to devote this month to prayer because people talk about prayer. They eulogize prayer. Many times you hear people talking about how horrible it is that prayer has been taking out of the classroom, and most certainly it is horrible, but when we talk about that, I oftentimes wonder whether we recognize that we oftentimes are very lax in our own prayer life. And so one of the things I've made available for those who support the ministry this month is my book, The Prayer of Jesus. I'm talking about the Lord's Prayer. It's something that is recited every single Sunday morning, at least in our church, and I'm certain in many churches throughout the land. But this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, should never be looked at as a prayer mantra, because in ultimate truth, it's a prayer manner. It's a means by which you and I can step out of the shallow tide pool of our hearts and plunge into an unbounded ocean of uncreated energy. It's a means by which we may transcend surface things and experience something deep, which of course is union with God. And so the Lord's Prayer provides the doorway to this ever-deepening experience with the divine. It involves making a major paradigm shift in our perceptions of what prayer is. It's not a technique through which we can garner things from God. The prayer that the Lord taught his disciples and vicariously us to pray is a means by which we may attain a level of intimacy that we might never before have even imagined. The Bible never encourages us to stamp out the self like the Buddhists do. It does, however, exhort us to stamp out selfishness. So genuine prayer is not found in our noisy askings and gettings. It is experiencing intimacy with the lover of our souls, submersion into the divine nature. And our precious Lord provided the archetypical entry for doing that very thing. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. It's called The Prayer of Jesus. It has a study guide and also the cross that I'm hoping many of you will place on your bathroom mirrors, where mine is, because I like it there in the morning. The very first thing I do is I pray the prayer of Saint Ephraim, and it has become part of the warp and woof of who I am, and I often envision other people doing it as well. Again, these resources available, check them out on the web at equip.org. Let's go to Paul in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Hank.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just have a comment. I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed your program yesterday on the differences, the contrast, the Bible and the Quran. And I'd like to hear more programs like that even.
Well, sort of a deep dive. What I wanted to do is communicate that contrast is the conduit to clarity. And I think the most important thing with respect to Islam is to contrast the Lord Jesus Christ with Muhammad and the Quran with the Bible. But there are many other contrasts that could be made as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to thank you for that, and that I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for calling in and encouraging me. In fact, let me, as a result of what Paul just said, let me make a point with respect to contrast being the conduit to clarity. Again, when it comes to Islam, in Islam, Sharia is state and state is Sharia. And I think that what has been lost in all of the pandering, all of the propaganda that we hear today with respect to Islam is the inviolate truth that if Islam is anything at all, it is theocratic. Quranic theology recognizes no separation between Sharia and state. And we do well to keep that inviolate truth in mind when we listen to the increasingly shrill statements emanating from congressional leaders like Ilhan Omar. And there's a contrast here again. Jesus underscored separation of church and state, not Sharia is state and state is Sharia, but separation. Remember Jesus saying, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And when the disciples asked him if he was going to establish some kind of a Jewish theocracy, Christ reoriented the thinking of his disciples from a restored Jewish state to a kingdom that was not of this world. So what's particularly troubling is that Sharia in Islam enshrines inequality, and particularly inequality for women as a core value. Why do I say that? It's because in Sharia, you have an allowance for a husband to beat a spouse. There's no such provision for a wife. And nor can a woman initiate a divorce. Only men can do so, and that with relative ease. I remember listening to the articulate ex-Muslim Ayan Hirsi Ali, who said that Sharia is exacting, it's punishment-centered. It describes what to do with unbelievers. It describes how to treat both infidels and those who stray from the Islamic faith. It even contains rules on what types of blows are permissible when a husband beats his wife. And as a law is not subject to adaptation, neither is Sharia. Sharia mandates proactive, perpetual war against Jews and Christians. That wasn't just for the 7th century. That's for the 21st century as well. The consensus of Sharia law in concert with the will of Allah mandates. It mandates war as a religious duty because of the obligation to convert everyone to Islam either by persuasion or by force. And people don't have to wonder what it would be like to live under Sharia. Western civilization experienced it in Spain during a time that the cultural elites describe as the golden age of Islam. Well, during that time, Sharia dictated virtually every aspect of public and private life. Far from a portrait, the portrait that's painted by so many of Muslims and Jews and Christians living in the midst of an Andalusian paradise, non-Muslims were subject to the severity of Sharia. The choice back then, just as now, was simple. If you don't believe this is true, should read about what's going on in the Middle East. The choice was simply shahada, subjugation, or sword. And again, that was true in the 7th century. It is true today. And that's why Christians are facing mass genocide in the Middle East. Again, contrast is the conduit to clarity, and I hope the contrast helps you understand just how draconian Islam is. And it's not alterable. It's not as though, well, that was then and this is now. It's not alterable. Coming to a station break, we'll be back on the other side. Another break with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Give us a call.
Few things are more essential to our existence than prayer, through which we experience communion with our Creator. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. Hank Hanegraaff wrote The Prayer of Jesus so that you can learn to pray as Jesus prayed and revolutionize your prayer life and experience even deeper union with Christ. To receive a copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply visit equip.org and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? In The Prayer of Jesus, Hank Hanegraaff will help you understand the mystery of prayer by delving into the prayer of the one who is the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ, to learn Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer as found in his own words. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. You too can revolutionize your prayer life by learning to pray as Jesus prayed, to experience even deeper union with God. The Prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of your soul you may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And we will go back to the callers in just a moment. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I do want to finish, I was thinking during the break, something I was saying about contrast being the conduit to clarity when it comes to Islam, and particularly I was talking about Sharia. In Islam, Sharia is state, and state is Sharia. Certainly not in Christianity. But if you want to gain a perspective on what creeping Sharia is like in the modern world, all you had to do is look at Brunei, because there the Sultan recently imposed Sharia. Even conversion, in his estimation, from Islam to Christianity, according to his exacting manifestation of modern-day Sharia, is punishable by beheading, by hanging, or stoning. Again, this isn't the 7th century, this is now. And lest anyone think that this is radical Islam, consider that of the more than 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide, a vast majority affirms the principles and the precepts of Sharia. In other words, Sharia has found near universal acceptance throughout the Muslim world. I remember former President Barack Obama ominously warning Westerners against impeding a Muslim citizen from practicing religion as they see fit. In other words, to question the tradition of Sharia is now considered hostility. And to impede Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit is characterized as Islamophobia. Which leads me to say that we can only pray that Western elites will come to their senses and insist that Muslims abdicate Sharia practices that militate against Western jurisprudence. And as Ayan Hirsi Ali has emphasized, under no circumstances should Western countries allow Muslims to form self-governing enclaves in which women and other supposedly second-class citizens can be treated in ways that belong to the 7th century. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. As promised, Lewis in Bronx, New York, listening on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to speaking to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Oh, okay. I have two questions for you, please. I have a pastor who says that Jesus Christ never carried the cross to Calvary. When all my life, I never heard that before. And I'm just wondering about that.
Well, it's not true, because both Jesus and Simon of Cyrene carried the cross. If you look at John chapter 19, there's no indication that Jesus alone carried his cross. What you have there is the indication that both carried the cross. When Christ couldn't carry it any further, then Simon was pressed into the service of finishing the task of carrying the cross to Golgotha. And this is why it's so important never to read the Gospels in isolation. They are synoptic. And then you have the Gospel of John. And when you read the synoptics and the Gospel of John in unison, one with the other, you get the full fleshed-out story of what was going on. And this is why we have four Gospels. It is important to realize that every one of the Gospel writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gives their vantage point on what's going on. Never in contradiction, never in such unity that someone could cry collusion, but always in a way that corresponds one with the other, setting up the entirety of the story.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Okay, so I just want to be more clear. So Jesus, it's not like Jesus never carried the cross all the way.
That's right. Both Jesus and Simon of Cyrene, if you read, let's say, Matthew chapter 27 and Mark 15 and Luke 23 in conjunction with John 19, you'll find that that's the composite story, that Jesus carried the cross and that Simon of Cyrene finished the process of taking the cross.
Yes. Thank you so much. Now it's more clear for me. Another question for you is about the rapture that I have here, right? Say, I know that you I hear you saying that you don't quite believe in the rapture of the church, pre-tribulation?
Yes, pre-tribulational rapture.
But I read on Isaiah 26, says, verse 26, come, my people, enter thou into the chamber and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as you were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. To me, that's a mention of the rapture, of the rapture before the tribulation, isn't it?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that's reading a paradigm into a passage as opposed to reading the passage in the context of Isaiah's message in total. And I think this is precisely what happens in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. People have a paradigm, and then they impose that paradigm on the biblical text. There's nowhere in Scripture where you have a picture whereby Jesus comes down, takes the people who are the believers up to heaven. In other words, reverses his course and takes them up to heaven for 7 years and then brings them back down after the secret coming and a second coming, and then you have a semi-golden age. All of that is a paradigm that is imposed on Scripture. And if you want my full understanding on that, I spent a lot of time on this. Years ago, I wouldn't tell people what I believed. I'd just say, here are the various positions. But I spent the time, 15 years, researching this matter, and ended up writing a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. There's a distillation of that as well in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to David in Colorado, listening on KRKS. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. And I'm praying for your help.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
The reason I'm calling is, why does the Catholic have the Book of Maccabees, whereas the Protestants don't?
Well, the Orthodox do as well. What it's designated as is the longer canon. So the Orthodox position on this is that those books are very, very, and obviously there's more than Maccabees, but those books are very, very significant for historical perspective. When you talk about Maccabees, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees, it's very hard to understand what's going on in terms of the completion or the answer to Daniel's prayer without it. Because in Maccabees, you have the resolution to what's going on when Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes carries out the very things that Daniel saw in his dreams. So Daniel in the 6th century was given dreams about what was going to happen with a succession of nations culminating in the Syrian Antichrist and his desecration of the temple and ultimate freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. That story is incredibly important. Now, the Orthodox, again, don't set doctrine or dogma based on the longer canon, but consider that part of the canon of Scripture. And I, for one, spent a lot of time with this because at one point I thought, I used to call them the apocryphal books, and I thought these books ought not to be read by Christians except from perhaps a minor historical perspective. But having spent a lot of time with the longer canon, the more time I spend it, the more I've appreciated the longer canon. particularly when it comes to what I just mentioned about Maccabees. I think everybody, every Christian ought to read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees again to get a resolution to what's going on in the book of Daniel. I did write about this in a number of different places, including my book, Has God Spoken? Which teaches people how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, and also teaches people how to be able to defend the Bible as being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I am out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more answers to your questions. A shout out to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Some give large amounts, and we're deeply grateful for that. Some smaller amounts, but collectively make this ministry a reality in the lives of so many. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Out of here today. Be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.